Hey, it's me, Gavin Crawford. Every week, I'll quiz comedians about the headlines. Do you worry about kids being exposed to drag?
I grew up going to see men in dresses singing every Sunday and we had to give them money, okay? I wish they were singing show tunes and had some makeup and their hair done, right? It would have been way better.
If the news has you screaming into the void, we can help with that. Because News is available on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
All right, get in here. It is the day after the Junos, and what a spectacular show that was. Last night, the biggest night in Canadian music. Today on the podcast, the highlights and the memorable moments of this year's Junos. Hint, yes, it does involve Charlotte Cardin. I'm El Amin Abdul Mahmoud. This is Commotion. Look, last night, this happened.
And welcome to the 2024 Juno. Let's get the party started.
That is the nation's sweetheart herself, Nelly Furtado, kicking off this year's Junos. The Junos are our night, right? They're our night to celebrate Canadian music. This year's Junos were live from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and that is where I am right now. If my voice sounds a little bit lower, it's because I maybe have been singing ill-advisedly loud and maybe should have toned it down a little bit, but there was a lot of singing to be done, okay? There's a lot of fun to be had. Tate McRae named Artist of the Year. Toby took home Rap Album and Rap Single of the Year. Maestro Fresh West himself was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. And also, it was a big night for this record. Charlotte Cardin, 99 Nights, that is a title track of her latest album, 99 Nights, Cleaned Up. Okay, took home Album of the Year and Pop Album of the Year. Here with me now to talk about this year's Junos, we got Rolly Pemberton, a.k.a. Cadence Weapon, Tristan Grant, a.k.a. Wolfcastle, and Morgan Mullen, a.k.a. Morgan Mullen. Welcome. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. How's everybody doing? Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. Okay, first of all, I love that greeting. I love that for me. Thank you. Second of all, Morgan, we got to get you a nickname, okay? We're going to, by the end of this group chat, we will arrive at a nickname for you. So you can go Morgan Mullen, a.k.a. We'll figure it out. Listen,
yeah, the creative juice is flowing. I've always wanted a really good nickname, so no pressure, guys.
It
yeah.
starts now. It starts today.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to start with you because you're the Haligonian in the group chat.
Absolutely. So
how'd you feel about last night's Junos right here in Halifax?
Yeah, it was really exciting and just like such a exciting reminder of all the city has to offer. So having the Junos here felt like such a great way to showcase all the different music and culture that's happening just in this part of the country and everything. Like, yeah. I feel like a lot of people in other regions of the country know that we have a lot of like roots music and like traditional kind of folk and things like that. And I feel like that was really well represented last night. But we also had like people from Halifax who were up for Reggae Album of the Year, Jamila, whose album yes. Roots Girl was one of my favorite of last year. You know, like there's people in the running for Electronic. It's just such a reminder that like we got all kinds of stuff going on out here and it's all worth paying attention to. So, yeah.
I should say, Tristan, you performed with Jamila on Saturday. Do you want to talk about that performance? Because you were so good and I was on my feet the whole time.
Oh, well, thanks. And yeah, I was really excited to do it. It was a no-brainer, you know, just to be on that stage. Like yes. a lot of us were really grateful to be there and to do that. And it's a lot of what you're saying, Morgan, where yeah. we were so excited to have the Junos in Halifax because everyone from Atlantic Canada could kind of like
exactly.
swarm
yeah.
and get together yeah. and do that, right? So to be able to do like Jamila and I did this song, East Coast Family, with O-Sound and Aquaculture, also some great people from that region. And mm-hmm. To be able to kind of celebrate that on stage and bring that message that it's not just roots music, it's not just Celtic music, as great as that is, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people here that we need to represent. So that felt like a moment for me on stage. It felt like an opportunity to
yeah.
to send that message forward.
Oh, it was certainly a moment, man. You could feel the energy in the room when you guys started that song. And what I love about that song is that it sort of unfolds a little bit like an extra surprise. Like, here's another layer and another layer and another layer. And then out you come out and
yeah.
Just like took over the stage. It was incredible. Cadence, let's talk about the Junos, man. How do you feel about last night's Junos after watching the show?
Yeah. you know, I believe in the potential of the Junos very greatly. And I feel like I don't, you know, I'm not the number one award show fan on the planet in general.
All right.
But, you know, I think Nelly Furtado was amazing. I feel like she brought so much energy, and it's honestly just really great to see her again, you know?
Yeah, I did. So, Morgan, I want to talk about that opening number, because it was like, okay, so the show opens and you get Nelly Furtado, but the joyous thing about it is that it's like a career retrospective of here are all the hits that Nelly Furtado has supplied to the nation over the two decades. Talk to me about watching her, you know, do both hosting duties and also do this kind of like giant opening number that was like, oh, I'm in for a good time.
Totally. Okay. So for the opening number, when she was kind of giving like Jetson's realness in this like silver outfit, I was sat there thinking like, I don't know who plans the Super Bowl, but I hope they're seeing this because that was such a good like mix.
Yeah.
And she covered such breadth and ground so quickly in a way that kept you up and kept you moving and kept you dancing. So I thought that was amazing. I feel like for me, whenever I think about whoever's hosting the Junos on a given year, I have a really high bar because I'm always thinking about Shania Twain in like 2003 when she had all the different costume changes. I don't know if like anyone else has that seared on their forebrain like I do, but she kept coming out in these different outfits of all the different like hockey teams.
Yeah.
Super iconic. But I thought like, you know, Nelly brought this really fun, amazing energy, and she also had a lot of really great different costume numbers as the night went on, which was cool. So
I'm gonna be thinking about the phrase Jetson's realness for a minute, because that's exactly what it was. It was like this like incredible spacey shiny thing.
Yes.
and what a way to kick it off. Okay, let's get to some of the big winners last night. This year, Tristan, marks 30 years since the Junos started including Indigenous categories in the awards. Out of this year's Indigenous categories, what were some of the highlights for you?
I think for me, the highlights were, you know, excited to just see a lot of representation across the board, not just in the Indigenous categories.
Yes.
But I'm a big fan of Ace and Abby, so I was very happy and proud to see him take two. You know,
songwriter of the year, alternative album of the year, two big awards. Yeah,
and his speech, right, of growing up without electricity, running water, and making it this far. I know, you know, award shows are what they are, and sometimes it's whatever, you know, but sometimes it also feels incredible to be able to use music and art as a way to, I don't know, lift yourself up to a certain level, right, and just like make it happen. And that's cool.
I want to play another nominee, another Indigenous nominee from last night. I want to play a little bit of Morgan Toney. Let's just hear a little bit of Kujua. Morgan Toney, that song is called Kojua. It's off the First Flight is the name of the song. It was nominated for Traditional Roots Album of the Year at last night's Junos. Morgan, a bunch of Haligonian acts up for awards this year. Was there anyone that you were specifically rooting for, being like, hey, let's go Halifax?
Yeah, so Morgan Toney's from Nova Scotia, not Halifax proper, but I have been really excited with what he's been doing. I just think, like, it's sometimes really easy to write off certain genres, and he's just giving such a great reminder that, like, no, traditional roots music is alive. It is shifting. It is growing. There's innovation happening just the same way as there is in like rock or any other given genre.
Yes.
And I think I mentioned this already too, but Jamila's record was one of my favorites of last year
course.
And that was up for Reggae Album of the Year. So
I'd also like to add quickly too that Morgan Toney was on stage with Jamila and me and everyone else for East Coast Family. So
yes,
people keep thinking I'm him. So we're like long lost brothers or something. So it must've been very confusing. We both had red suits on stage. But anyway,
you know what? It's because you guys did a really lovely video together where you said, hey, a win for you is a win for me. And so suddenly I go, you know what? I put the two of you guys on stage all the time. I want that to happen.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
folks who are just joining us, this is Commotion. My name is Alamin Abdul Mahmoud. We are talking all things Junos with Cadence Weapon, Morgan Mullen, and Tristan Grant. Let us take a minute to talk about this moment right here.
I wrote my first rhyme in 1979, and I never thought that in 1991 I'd receive the very first Juno Award for rap music. Wow, right? In that moment, I felt great. But that same time, songwriting icon Leonard Cohen received his Hall of Fame award. And I was instantly humbled. Who would have thought in 2024 I'd be standing here on stage holding the exact same award, man? This is hip hop.
A bit of Maestro Fresh West's acceptance speech after being inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. Last night, Maestro became the first rap artist to be given that honor. Cadence, you never thought that hip-hop could take it this far. What was going through your mind as you were watching that moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so good to give him his flowers. You know, Maestro's a legend.
Yes.
I was really great to see. I do think it was weird that they had him walking in with the Mounties. I didn't really...
That didn't seem like a Juno's decision. It felt like a Maestro decision to me, because I think he could have just walked regular. I don't know. He did call himself the Prime Minister of Rap, and I was like, I'm supposing that the Mounties are his security detail in this moment. I don't know. Morgan, when you were watching that, what'd you make of Maestro's speech?
Okay, so not to make everything about the clothes, but I did notice that he was in this like leather tux situation that I thought was a really great callback to the outfit that he wore in his first video. But just in general, I just thought it was really exciting to kind of see him getting the acknowledgement that he deserves. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times in Canadian music history, like, I don't know, a lot of the music nerds that I know would talk about different Canadian pioneers and all kinds of different genres. Like, I'm thinking about how a lot of people I know will talk about how DOA was so important to hardcore, but you don't always necessarily hear some of those conversations with like pioneers of hip hop. So I'm hoping that this is going to be the first step in like maybe a more people like remembering how important all our musical pioneers are kind of thing.
100%. Cadence this year also happens to be the 35th anniversary of Let Your Backbone Slide. That's the giant hit single. We now have, you know, 35 years of rap history with pretty, like, large across this country that I'm not sure has been given the attention that it deserves. And that, of course, is not the fault of Maestro himself. But as you look at Canada's Music Hall of Fame, giving Maestro this recognition, I guess I'm kind of curious about what you think about, you know, how are other Canadian rap pioneers going to get the acknowledgement that they deserve? Are we close to that at all?
Yeah, I mean, why did it take the Canadian Music Hall of Fame so long to put a rapper in the first place?
Yeah, that's the real question. That's the question.
Right, and I think it's great that Maestro, he's getting his props, and I think it's really important. But I think it is, you know, we've got the only way you can get a rap performance on the Junos now is if it's a song from 35 years ago or something, you know? And, you know, and there's so much rap from all over the country that doesn't get acknowledged. I feel like now that Maestro, he's solidified everything. He's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Now we can do the rest of hip hop in Canada.
Yeah.
Like Winnipeg, Vancouver, Edmonton, more artists from Halifax. You know, there's so many legends from across the country. It's time to really acknowledge them.
I mean, Tristan, can we get into this a little bit? Because watching this year's Junos, I felt like there was an interesting tension between the past and the future. There is the story that we tell ourselves sometimes about Canadian music, which is that, you know, when somebody says Canadian music, they think of like the era of, I don't know, Shania Twain, of course, but also Alanis Morissette. This year, 25 years ago, they tragically played SNL for the first time. And, like, and I think like there is something that gets maybe memorialized and written down as like that's what Canadian music is. But then you watch the Junos this year and you watch, you know, Karen Adjula receive a massive award for the Fan Choice Award last night. So final award of the night. I'm not sure that a lot of people end up associating Karen Adjula with like, here's the story of Canadian music. But at the same time, Karen Adjula is Canadian and he gets billions of streams with a B globally. And they did honor that. The tribute to Robbie Robertson on stage last night, led by Ace Inabi, was also all Indigenous artists. to me, if someone were to say, what is the face of Canadian music right now, I would say, I think you need to look at Punjabi hip hop, and I think you need to look at Indigenous artists. Like, that is those are the people who are moving the genre of Canadian music forward right now. But some people can sometimes be a little bit stuck in an era where, you know, 25, 35 years ago, as like the quote unquote heyday of Canadian music. What do you make of that tension of like where we are now versus where we were before?
It seems like a lot of these award shows and kind of mainstream industry events mm-hmm. are basically playing catch up with what's been going on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think that speaks a lot to how much, you know, relations in this country has changed in 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people love to say Canada is super multicultural and accepting of not only immigrants, but the people that have always traditionally been here. But again, when you think of Canadian music, people will only ever think of Shania Twain or other, you know, white artists or European artists that grew up here. And it's very rare that people get their flowers otherwise. Yeah. And maybe that's changing, because I do like seeing a lot of this representation that is happening.
I
think it's super cool. I think I see it happening, but it's what you're saying is true. Like, if you go to Toronto downtown or you go to any city, it's not just white people.
Of course. And it would make sense, right, Tristan, for that to start being reflected in the music scene. I think what was lagging for quite a bit of time is the recognition for different genres that are not. Like, this country's been very good at producing rock bands, you know? We are a little rock band factory as a nation. And we've done that really well for, you know, 40 years, 50 years. And I love that for us. But when we sort of get to a moment like this, where artists who are from Canada are blowing up on TikTok, and then the industry sort of like catching up to recognize them. Like Tok, who won Breakthrough Artist of the Year yesterday. Like, Breakthrough is such an understatement, Morgan, because like that Tok, the biggest Tok song, has like 135 million streams or something like that. And it's not like Tok came up through the traditional Canadian label system. He sort of blew up on TikTok, and then the rest of the industry tried to recognize them. I feel, to me, yesterday's Junos tried to strike a balance between, you know what, this is what we're good at recognizing, and also this is what we really need to get to learn how to recognize. What do you make of that? There was no question there. That was just me saying a sentence. So, do you have the same read on it, Morgan?
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely. I think, social media, as it continues to grow and everything, we're probably going to see more and more stories of people like Tok who are coming up through like non-traditional means.
Yes.
And I think that's really exciting. I think it gives a lot of room for representation and creativity and innovation. And yeah, I mean, to me, last night watching the Junos felt like there was an awareness of someone who is like upstairs or planning, trying to be all like, okay, we need to be aware of new ways of doing things, not just old ways of doing things, in a way that felt really good and exciting.
Cadence, what do you make of that? Because like your career has so far spanned, you know, 2 decades, and in this 2 decades, like you've seen a lot of change in the type of music we recognize as like central to the Canadian music identity right now.
Yeah, you know, the representation is really cool. But I do feel like there's this feeling of a bit of a disconnect between, you know, what Canadian music fans are actually into, that when I just am on the streets, I talk to people or whatever, versus what we end up platforming on television.
Sure.
And even if you think about what is the most pop in Canadian music, those people weren't there, right? They're like not at the Junos, you know, the Biebers and the Drakes of the world.
Yeah, Tate McRae won one album of the year, and one artist of the year. And I was like, "Where's Tate?" And I like saw on her Instagram, like, she just can't hang it out at home. Like, she wasn't, you know. I guess it could have been uploaded later. I don't know, but I was surprised not to see Tate McRae in the room, for example.
Yeah, no, and we need to kind of figure out why that is. And maybe I'm thinking it's also like this award show. I was surprised that no one's acknowledging what's going on in the rest of the world. Right. Like, I mean, maybe that's not what an award show's for, but it's, again, it speaks to the fact that we're a little bit removed from what people's everyday reality is.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I do want to play you guys something, even though there's not a lot of mention. I'm assuming you're talking about the war in Gaza, but also like there was mention of something political. I want to play you guys this clip right here.
Advocating for our community's rights is a great privilege, and we are dedicated to confronting any form of discrimination that threatens the well-being of our community. Threats like the Alberta government's attempt to prevent trans youth from accessing vital care. These attacks are harmful because they are directed at the kids who need our support the most.
Okay, so Tegan and Sarah, like, not really mincing words as they were receiving a giant award. During their acceptance speech, directly calling out the Alberta government for its proposed legislation limiting gender-affirming care for young people. When you saw that moment, Morgan, were you surprised that that Tegan and Sarah took that time to do that?
I wasn't surprised at all. I always think of Tegan and Sarah as being, like, put in the position where they have to be really brave all the time, and they always rise to that. Like, I'm like a fan, like, since I was in high school, so like I could gush about them forever. But right. I thought that like they did a really great job in that speech of hitting that point of saying something with teeth, but also like registering the moment kind of thing. And I think that is one of those things where it's like, yeah, it was the perfect time to bring that sort of thing up.
I gotta say, Tristan, quite often when you hear the Alberta government talk, you know, one thing that Premier Danielle Smith says is like, hey, if you're not from Alberta, you can't really criticize us. It hits a little bit different that Tegan and Sarah are from Alberta and they are sort of taking that moment. Were you surprised to see that moment happen?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, like you said, Morgan, I mean, they've always kind of championed that sort of talk. And I'm glad something was said, right? Because sometimes it just feels like, I don't know what's going on in the leadership of the country. But yeah. Every now and then I just see a lot of wild stuff come up and you're like, really? This is what this is the people in charge and this is what they're worried about and promoting.
What I am relieved by is sometimes seeing artists take the responsibility seriously of saying, we also create art that lives in the real world and we engage with it. And to me, that was a reminder that artists can and do carry that weight. I appreciate you guys being here. Thank you so much for your time and for your energy. This has been terrific. Morgan, we haven't figured out a nickname for you, but you know what? I'll spend the rest of the day on it and then I'll get back to you. But in the meantime, I got to say thank you. Tristan, Morgan, Cadence, thank you so much for your time, y'all.
Yeah, thank you. This was
thank
fun.
You.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Morgan Mullen is a freelance music and culture writer based in Halifax. Tristan Grant is a musician and interim host of the CBC program Reclaimed. He's based in New Brunswick. And Rolly Pemberton is a music critic and rapper known as Cadence Weapon. He's out in Hamilton. He's got a new album called Roller Coaster that is out April 19th. To see a full list of the winners from last night's Junos, go to cbc.ca/Junos. I'm Alameen Abdul Mahmoud, and you're listening to Commotion. Look, before we go, I just wanted to tell you about a conversation that you can find on our podcast. It's about the Griffin Poetry Prize. It's the biggest award for poetry in the world right now. And part of the reason the Griffin Poetry Prize can make that claim is that a couple of years back, they announced a pretty big change. Instead of two main prizes, one for a Canadian poet, one for an international poet, the Griffins folded both of those prizes into one big one, an award worth $130,000. The Canadian Award specifically was eliminated. That is now the second year where those changes have been in effect. It's also the first year since those changes were implemented that none of the writers up for the award are Canadian and no Canadian publishers. The long list, however, includes two Canadian translators. Paul Vermeersch is a poet who's got a lot of thoughts about all this. He works in the poetry publishing industry. Before we get to that clip, I want to set up a little bit of what you're going to hear from Paul. So Scott Griffin is the founder of the Griffin Poetry Prize. And back when these changes were made, he said that he felt it was time for Canadian poets to, quote, compete on the international stage with everybody else. So I asked Paul Vermeersch whether he felt that was a fair reason for those changes. Here's what Paul had to say.
My wording about poetry prizes being celebrations, not competitions, is a direct answer to Mr. Griffin's statement that it's time for Canadian poets to compete on the world stage. Mm. Art is not a competition. Poetry is not a sport. And I think that those of us in poetry communities and poetry publishing communities see ourselves as colleagues and not as competitors so much. And but literary prizes are fun. They are an opportunity. They are a celebration. Yeah. And I do think we celebrate what we value. And for over two decades, the Griffin Poetry Prize so expertly and so beautifully took Canadian poets and international poets and put them together on the same stage. Mm-hmm. And it gave us this beautiful cross-pollination of audiences where Canadian readers would discover these international voices and mm-hmm. international voices would discover these Canadian voices. And that for me was always what the Griffin Poetry Prize did best. That's what made it special. That's what made it worth paying attention to. And that's gone. And I find that very, very disappointing.
So that is a part of my conversation with the poet Paul Vermeersch. I got to say, Paul had a lot of thoughts. I really want you to hear the full conversation. It's with Paul. It's on our podcast feed. You can find that right now. That is it for the podcast today. Remember, you can listen to any episode of Commotion anytime you like, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Instagram. We are at CommotionCBC. My name is Alamin Abdul Mahmoud from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'm not going to lie to you. After this ends, I'm going to go have a nap. That is the next thing I'm going to do. But in the meantime, hey, have a great day. I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'll see you then.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.